Amen. Praise God for what he's doing in this place today. And as I've said many times before, do be in prayer, as we do need him every hour. And there are so many things that people have got going on that we don't all know about, but we can be praying in intercessory prayer for each and every one of those folks. You see folks come down to the altar, people sitting in their seats, and there's so many needs that we need to be just presenting to God. Every one of us in here this morning made a choice to come here. And to come here this morning and to come to this place, 2411 Heath Road, and I asked a question, why? Why did each and every one of us that are here and the people that are back there with the children and all, why did we all decide today, well, we just figured we're going to get up and go to church? Because every one of us, you got up at a specific time this morning, you got yourself ready and dressed and prepared, and you had to eat breakfast and whatnot, probably got up earlier than you normally would on a weekend day, okay? You got yourself dressed probably earlier than you would normally on a day off that you had, and then you made the trek from wherever you live. Some people hail from Fort Valley, you know, and drive further than others. Some people live just down the street, but you made that trek here to United Community Church today. You could have made a different choice. You could have said, you know what, I'm off work today. I'm going to sleep in. I am not going to get dressed out of my pajamas today. And I'm just going to get up and, you know, sometime around 10, 11, 12, 1, whatever time you want to get up, I'm going to flip on the television set and I'm going to watch a sermon on TV. I'm going to log on to my computer. I'm going to watch a sermon online. You can get many a marvelous preacher on TV, and you can get some of your best folks. You can pick and choose who you want to watch and get that on your computer there and stream it. And you can stream some live church services. You can, you know, listen later on if you want to wait a little while. The sermon that I preached this morning will be on our website. And you can just wait and listen if you want to hear me. But we made a choice today to come here. I made a choice to come here. And you ponder for just a minute why you did that and why you didn't choose, as so many people chose to just not go to church, period. And those people who want to consider themselves churchgoers or religious, then they may have sat home and just simply, those people who are able-bodied, mind you, who just simply sat there and say, well, I'm going to watch the TV preacher, or I'm going to watch a service online. Why did we not do that today? And you ask yourself that question. Why didn't you? Why do I bother to come to United Community Church week after week and be here? I think that the answer to the question for every one of us, the reason why you chose to get up early, to come to church today, and to be here in a physical presence with physical people in a physical building, is because every one of us, hopefully most of everybody that is in here, has a fundamental understanding of what church is for and what church is about. And there's a common misconception in the world today that church is simply a place that you come to worship and learn about God. Now, that is the basis of what we do here, but church and coming here and gathering together as we do is so much more than that. Because if church is only a place where we come and worship and learn about God, then I can do that at the house. I can read my Bible by myself. I can watch the TV by myself. I can read my commentaries in my library by myself. I don't need to only go to church to learn about God, okay? And if that was the only reason, then there's no reason for us to be here this morning. You could have just stayed at your house. But you made a choice today because you understand, obviously, that there's something different. And there's not something different, but there's something more about what church has for us today. It is the reason we're here is a fundamental thing that we have with inside of each and every one of us, okay? It is a need for fellowship one with another. All right, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Very familiar passage of scripture, probably read it a million, thousand times at least. If you picked up your Bible, if you heard sermons preached around this type of a concept here, you've heard this verse of scripture read. So Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I memorized that verse in the King James. It says, "Forsake ye not the assembly of yourselves together." It says right there, you've heard that. What is the point of that verse? Is it just a verse that, you know, preachers can spew out and say, "Well, you need to be coming to church. You need to be coming to church. So, you know, forsake ye not the assembly of yourselves together." You know, read the passage in its context. What is the author of Hebrews trying to communicate to the people there? And we'll be, a couple of weeks from now, we'll be in the 10th chapter of Hebrews on Sunday night. But as I said, we've heard this verse so many times spoken, you know, about, and it's a mantra nowadays that people say. It's just a cliche we tell people when they say, "Well, I don't know if I really want to go to the church." "Well, forsake you not the assembly of yourselves together now." You know, remember that verse. And people just kind of pass on by that. But if you take a look at Genesis chapter 2, and we're not going to turn there, you can, in the creation account, God looked at Adam and he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." Okay, and then he created a woman there, and then we had both there. Because, see, there's a fundamental thing with inside each and every one of us to assemble together, to have companionship one with another. I don't know that there's hardly a person on the planet that just simply enjoys isolationism, where you're sitting there all by yourself all of your entire life, nobody to talk to, nobody to, you know, one of the worst punishments in prison is to put you in the isolation cell in there, and you have zero contact with anybody except for the person who slides you some food that is there. And so you have atheists today that have begun meeting together and in these weird settings of almost like a church service, because they understand that they need to be together and that there's something there with each and every person that you need to be with folks of like mind, of like faith, and just communion together. And so they're doing that. You think about homeschool children. How many things do you see nowadays where there's events trying to get homeschool kids to do things together? All kind of stuff. Sports, get them together, because here you have children. It's the biggest problem with homeschooling, okay, is you have children sitting there with a computer or a parent trying to learn, and no interaction with other kids, no interaction with the outside world. It's not a good thing, okay? And so if you see it happening in our homeschool scenarios, where we're trying to get together, if atheists are trying to get together and congregate one with another, then I think it's immensely important for Christian people to be getting together, because iron sharpens iron, and that's one of the biggest things. If you want to know what is church for, church is for, yes, it is for worshiping God, and we've done that this morning. It is for learning more about God, and we do that every time we meet, or we try to. But church is about fellowshipping. Okay? And it shouldn't only be about fellowshipping. Now, you got a bunch of churches sometimes that that's all they are is social clubs. Now, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. But a huge aspect of church is you getting together with one another and your friends that are here and our church family, and we're sharing in the struggles that one another are going through. We're able to come down to altars and pray, you know, one for another. You're able to, you know, to share your life experience with somebody that may be going through something. And you can't get that at home by yourself watching the TV. Man, you may get the word, but you're lacking something. And you sit there, and you sit there, and you sit there, but something's missing. And if you want to look at the second thing, I want to bring out Acts chapter 2. Turn there before we get to our verses in Ecclesiastes. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, I want to show you what the early church, how they were operating soon after, you know, Christ resurrected and Paul and Barnabas were about to be setting out and going about planting churches and all. And this is the way that all the disciples of Jesus began to act. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Now I want you to take a moment at the early church. These were not folks that just came and they met together for an hour and a half or something like that, one time a week, and they said, "Hey, how you doing?" in the fellowship time, and "God bless you, and we're praying for you," and all that kind of stuff, and left, and they never had communication again. These folks were a family. It said they met daily in the temple courts and fellowshiped and broke bread. When you look at that, these people, they were a part of people's lives. We call ourselves a church family. And you have to ask yourself, are you a part of that church family? Okay? And if you say, "Well, no, well, is that because the people have shunned you, or is that because of something that you hadn't got on board and doing?" If you come to church, and I want to preach to some people in here today, if you come to church and you simply stay in your place, I make sure, now this is something mandated for me, we never do not do fellowship time. Okay? I don't care what's going on, that will happen. We will have a time that everybody gets to go around and shake hands and talk with one another. Because if not, what happens sometimes is people come in, we sit down, you hear everything, and you're out the door. Never having spoken to anybody, never have fellowship with anybody, never have experienced what we're here to do in church. And you might as well have just sat at home and watched the TV if you're not going to interact with people that are in the church services that are here. So yes, we make sure here that we have that time of fellowship for a number of reasons. We want to make sure if you're a visitor at United Community Church that you just don't sit there, because the visitor's not going to get out and go, "Hey, how you? Hey, how you?" You know, that's our job, to go to those people. Okay, but if we fail on the fundamental aspect of fellowshipping in church and not congregating with one another and getting to know people, you know, we need to get to know everybody that's in this room. You look across this place, we need to get to know people, not so we can gossip on the telephone and, you know, talk about everybody's business, but we need to get to know people so we can be there for one another. And the more we grow and the more things happen, the harder sometimes that gets. But that's why we've got to be at it all the time. Knowing people's names. I'm sure there's some people in here that can look across this congregation. You say, "I don't know that person's name. I don't know that person's name. Who's that lady back there in the white hair?" You know, Miss Sandra French. Isn't it good to have her in the service this morning? All right. You can get to know Sandra. All right, she's the second time visiting with us. All right, and I could pick out some more people that I thought she'd take it in good sport if I picked on her. So you got to get to know people here. That's why you came here today. Yes, you wanted to worship God. Yes, you wanted to learn more about God, but you wanted to be around people. Okay, and you wanted to fellowship one with another. And the second thing that I want us to look at this morning is the protecting aspect, the support. You have fellowship, but then you have the support. And turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. And you can read, start in verse 7 and read down if you want to one day get a full aspect of what this passage is talking about. But verse 12 says, "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." Okay? And Linda Taylor brought out many a time over the past couple of weeks about, you know, twigs, and that twig story. It comes from this passage of scripture right here, because you have twigs and you take one twig and you can just snap it and snap it. But you put five or six twigs together, all being the same little bitty twig, and you bundle them together and you try to break those twigs then. And she's got an example of it right there. Hold that up over there. Joyce Wilson made some of those. Isn't that wonderful? You can't break that right there because everybody's together, and that's what you get. That's what you get, Nico, okay? When you're in church, you get a three-stranded cord that's not easily broken within the fellowship. But I'm telling you, if you try to go out there and you try to do this whole Christian thing by yourself and by your lonesome, and you don't listen to what the author of Hebrews was saying, and you do forsake the assembly of yourselves together, then you're going to miss a fundamental aspect of what God wants you to be getting in the experience of being a child of His, which is fellowship one with another. And then you do not have that support structure that is there. And you are like that gazelle that's limping out there behind the pack. And Satan's looking going, that's the one we're going to go after right there. Because, see, a house divided is going to fall. And so you have got to understand, we come here and we're a big old family. Okay, and in family, sometimes we may have issues and troubles. And I said this the other day, but I don't mean that we start divorcing everybody. You ought not do that in your own life. Just because you have issues, yes, you may be able to divorce a spouse or something like that, but I don't think you can look at your parents, I just divorced you. You know, you're not my mom anymore. You know, you're not my daddy anymore. I mean, that's signed, sealed, and delivered. Okay? But what makes us stronger sometimes, see, is when we all come together, even in the midst of those storms that Carolyn was singing to us about. And see, then we began to grow, and we began to do what God wants us to do, is to congregate together. And I want you to look at a beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just going to read verse 27 and surmise the ones before. Well, I want you to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Okay? And when you look at that, and I want you to think about a body for just a minute. If you have people that are missing in church, in our family, the body of Christ that is represented right here, if I was missing my right arm today, I would be lacking in something, okay? I would be limited by what I can do because I am right-handed. And I would have to be trying to do everything with one hand. And that's the way it is when people are not in the fellowship of the church of God. We are missing people. We are missing parts of our hand, parts of our feet. We're missing a couple of toes that are here. And I'm not just talking about within United Community Church. I'm talking about in the church itself. When you're at home, you might as well have been snapped off and sat over here. And you're not a part of the body of Christ that is operating within that church. And I'm telling you, there is nothing to it just sitting there and listening to a pastor on TV. And I do that throughout the week, but that's not church to me. And it can never, ever take the place of church. Never. Never, ever, ever, ever. When you sit there and say, yes, it can, I can sit there and get all I want to, then you tell me why atheists are meeting together. You tell me why we spend so much time trying to connect homeschool kids to places, because you know. Why does every person want companionship today, whether it's a heterosexual companionship or a homosexual companionship? We got people, they want to be together. You want somebody there. People are longing to get married and to have relationships and all of those types of things. And then you want to have friends. And see, we are built as people that need that. And so I want you to understand this morning that the reason why we come here and the reason why we do what we do, just so when Satan whispers in your ear one day, hey, why don't you just sit there and look at the television set? He's getting you to be right there by yourself with no support structure, all alone. And you can flip to that TV and find a whole lot of theology that ain't right. Okay, you can find the stuff that's half of the Bible. But see, you don't come here. And if you do, you need to reevaluate why you come here. You don't come here just to hear me. You shouldn't, because you're going to have a big problem if that's the only reason that you come here today. You come here to fellowship one with another. And so we've got to get to that place when we're here, where we are fellowshipping with everybody. And I come to this conclusion, because anybody who is in here, and I want you to think about this analogy in closing, anybody who's ever had a garden and you're gardening, you plant plants of that are the same together. You want some rows of corn, instead of planting, you know, two rows that are, you know, 18 feet long, you might as well just plant some short rows all right here together. Why is that? Why do you want to plant things together? Anybody in here that's a gardener can tell me? Pollination. Pollination. Okay? See, because, and I'm out there and I'm in my little raised bed garden and at the house, and I'm doing some things there because I like to do that as a little hobby, not getting much fruit out of everything, but I put it all together. And I was sitting there one day, you know, I got home from work and I'm just out there, and I looked and I was like, this is why we go to church. Because see, either you come to church and you are pollinating somebody else, or you're getting pollinated. And you're able to grow, and you won't be able to have any fruit like that. And so if one is here and one is over there, you may get a little bit. Yeah, you may get a little bit of tomato, a little bitty thing here because the flowers come out, and you may have a bee that transferred that pollen way across over there. It can happen, okay? But if you want to ensure that you are going to be as bountiful and fruitful for God, you need to do what His Word says, and forsake ye not the assembly of yourselves together. Because what we're doing here today is we are pollinating and cross-pollinating one another just like a big old garden, and that's what God has given us the picture of today, and I want you to understand that, okay? So I want to ask, when you come here, though, when you come here and you are able and you have the ability to bless or to pollinate, do you do that before you leave? Okay? Because that's important. And as Earl stood up here today, I thank you, ladies, men in Sunday school, who have stood in the gap there, because that's what you're doing. Okay? When you look across and you say, oh, there's somebody who needs a little bit of nourishment right there. It's not just a job of me, or the job of deacons, or Sunday school. It's the job of every person that is sitting in this room, that we are all here one for another, okay? Every one of us. Not little cliques of people here and here. Everybody in here, one for another. Because, see, you look at all these people in this room today, and you think, if every one of us, what a support structure. If you don't, I want you to think, some of you are in here and you don't have a family member, one, that's there for you. Just take a look right over here, and you got one big one. Right here, one big family that is here to do for you in everything we can. That doesn't mean we can do everything for you, but by George, we're going to do everything we can. And see, here at United Community Church, that's what we try to foster in the fellowship here, is that we are a church that wants to nourish those that are hungry, wants to be a place of refuge for those who are hurting. But again, I want you to understand, we are a family. And you stand up today if you have never had a problem in your family. I didn't want to be the only one standing, okay? But we have those here. But see, even in the storm, you learn more by mistakes sometimes than you do by learning something out of a book, okay? Because you went, not only did I learn, but that hurt. And I don't want to do that again, okay? But we come here today, and I hope this is the reason what I'm talking about this morning. I hope this is the reason that you did wake up and come, because you wanted to fellowship one with another. And I hope that you've been able to worship God, and I hope that you have been able to learn more about God. I hope that you'll come tonight and that you'll study the eighth chapter of the book of Hebrews with us. I hope that you'll come on Wednesday night sometimes. We have far less people on Sunday night and Wednesday night. But if you want to dive deep in the Word and you want to ponder things and you want to get down and you want to study it, come to those other services that are here too, okay? Because those things are important if you want to dive deep. And that's your choice that you have to do. But see, I like to be here. Before I was ever on staff in a church, I was there every time the door opened, okay? My mama's here today, and she knows that. For years and years and years, I had never not been there. Because, see, there was a support structure that I had at church that I had never seen anywhere else in all of my life, okay? I mean, people from all different walks of life, people that don't know you from Adam's house cat, okay, that look at you and love you. And see, that's what Christ did for us. Christ was not a part of our immediate family like that. I mean, he was our God and all, but he looked at every one of us and everything that we did, and he loved us. And when you can walk in a church and you can look at people and say, that person doesn't know me, it's the first time they've ever met me, but I feel like that I was at home there today, and I feel like that they genuinely love and care about me, then that is something that's rare in this world today. Because see, most of the time, for you to get that, you got to do something for somebody. But see, Christ was not that way. He realized we couldn't do anything for him. And as I taught last Sunday morning, that salvation is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Okay? It is a free gift. And what we give around here, this love that we have, is free. You just give it. Not because somebody did anything for you. The person, you may have somebody like Miss Lois that's been here for a long, long time in this church. And we love Miss Lois. We do. But Lance, this is the first time you've ever come in this church, right? That's your name, right? I didn't mess that up, okay? We love you the same as we love this lady right here, okay? And that's the truth. That's what we're here to do. Now, what we do is we take this here, and you take that out there. Because see, you come here to love and to worship and to learn. That way we can go out there and we can spread that like Jesus did. Okay? Amen. Let's pray.